This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uwa Paganapakipagan, joined as always by Ian McNally. A Quiet Place is now in cinemas. This is the film directed by John Krasinski, starring his real-life wife, Emily Blunt. Now, the movie is about a post-apocalyptic world where you have to be absolutely silent because if you make a single noise, the bad guys will come and get you.
And they're pretty bad.
I was watching this film and I scribbled in my notebook, this would have been a great Cloverfield movie.
Oh God, yeah, but thankfully it wasn't because they would have ruined it by trying to shoehorn in Cloverfield.
I think it's important to note, if you've seen the trailers for this movie...
It lives up to those trailers.
It does, but you may be misled into thinking it's an art house film. There are certain moments in the trailer when it makes it look like a low-budget indie art house film.
Maybe.
It's not. This is a straight-up horror monster flick.
Yeah, maybe we saw different trailers. I got the idea this is like going to be a terrifying horror movie, and it's like it delivered exactly what I wanted.
I was expecting something a little more art house.
Nah.
And what I got was a great monster flick with some incredibly clever twists.
And it's an elevated monster flick. I mean, you're saying art house, but like there is very little dialogue in this movie. I mean, God... John Krasinski, like, Jim Halpert is a pretty good director.
He's an incredible director. About 80% of this movie is in ASL, American Sign Language. It is complete silence.
And then, just when he knows that you're going to get annoyed at the subtitles, they drop in a scene by a waterfall where the sound will drown out the conversation, and you can have a conversation there. It's not. It's subtly, as the movie goes on, it subtly kind of invents moments where you can talk, just that, give the audience a little break. Again, they're at the perfect moments. Like, they're not, like, it's not, you don't feel like... I need a break, but it's before you say, I need a break.
And also, when you say invents moments, it doesn't cheat you.
No.
It feels like it's completely earned, right? This is a movie that could pass off as something incredibly gimmicky if done badly.
Yeah.
And it isn't. The use of silence, the use of music, the use of sound in this film is absolutely pristine.
Marco Beltrami's score just weaves in and out and builds tension without anything else happening. We should mention as well of the family, the daughter is deaf. So there are creatures out there. We don't, and we're given no explanation.
No clue.
They could be supernatural. They could be mutated. At one point, you see a signboard that just says all the missing persons. And this story takes up on day 472.
Something like that,
It starts on day 89 and cuts to 472. And you have no idea what this is happening and you just have to try and get out your life. And this silence weaves around the score and it also weaves a spell over the audience because I think this is the quietest audience I've ever seen a movie with.
Oh, yes.
We could hear the individual crisps going into the person's mouth at the back left-hand side of the cinema because... Everyone else was just on tenterhooks. Not because they couldn't hear anything, but when you're watching these people tiptoe around their lives, you kind of lean forward a little bit and you're in tenterhooks.
And that's why Krasinski's direction is so brilliant. He forces you to lean into the screen.
Yeah.
And it's so rare when a movie does that and when it does it this well.
And then he follows that by giving you a jump scare, but it's a little bit like, not to the ridiculous extent that What Lies Beneath went to years ago. It gives you a jump scare and it's not the one you expect and it's not even the other one you expect. It's the one you weren't looking for that was coming from behind that gets you.
Exactly.
And I did the bad thing. I started giggling. Like after that shock, because you get that instant burst of adrenaline when there's raccoons on the roof.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah! And then you start giggling because it was so well crafted.
This is a movie that is so, I mean, I'm going to say underwritten. I mean, there is no dialogue, so obviously it is underwritten, but there is so little exposition. I mean, the movie begins and you realize that Emily Blunt's character is pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's all. You just need to see her pregnant and your brain is already doing cartwheels as to how do you deliver a baby and not make any
noise? You've seen
what happens if the baby screams?
At the opening, you don't know what's going on. They're just raiding this place and they're walking on sand and they're barefoot, and you're like trying to put things together, and then somebody knocks something off a shelf and someone else catches it, and the looks of abject terror on everyone else's face tell you almost everything you need to know.
And that's why this movie works so well. You're doing all of the presupposing. It's not spelled out for you. You're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
And you're freaking yourself out before anything actually happens.
Yeah, because you start thinking about the realities of having a giving birth to a baby in a world where you can't make a sound. Ugh. And there's also the genius, like, they never refer to each other by name. They're named in the credits, but the family never refer to each other by name. Even when they're having arguments, it's like him, her, but they're in two separate groups, so they know who they're talking about. It's just a nice little touch that's like, of course they wouldn't refer to each other by the names all the time.
The world also feels incredibly lived in. I mean, the setup, their house,
the
way they've had to change the way they live, they eat, they play games, all of that is completely in tune with what's been happening in the greater universe.
Yeah, I mean, they have like warnings set up because you can't say, look out behind you. And that only struck me on how good it was later on as well. It was like how well thought out that was and where you need to put those. And some people do have the horror movie trope teenagers, you know, they storm off at certain points, but they storm off along the path of sand that they put there to dampen the noise. And it just all feels so very well thought out. And it has one, we should say as well, at the opening, this opening that gives it is one of the strongest openings of any horror. Like, there's a moment before, right before the credits hit you straight in the face, that is just...
Oh, it's tremendous.
It's amazing.
It's tremendous. When that moment happened, I exclaimed, I just went, son of a...
Yeah, and I thought, I hope Uma's not going to be like this the whole movie, because I'm really looking forward to this, and this is not Mystery Science Theater.
No, it caught me so off guard.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did not expect that at all. It's a very, very strong moment, and it follows through. The only downside is by the third, I think it's the third time in around the 60th, 70th minute when... Krasinski puts his fingers to his lips again. It's like, yeah, we know.
We know.
we got to be quiet.
We know, John. We know. The movie was written or co-written by Scott Beck, Brian Woods, and Krasinski shares a screenwriting credit with them as well.
Yeah.
There's a great story as to how this movie came to be. Apparently, Scott Beck and Brian Woods had it on a shelf. They had the concept for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was, I think they had told it to Michael Bay. And Michael Bay was a producer on this movie.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loved the concept. And he told Paramount, you have to fund this movie.
Yeah.
And I think he's worked with Krasinski before in the Benghazi movie. And Krasinski had the script and decided he wanted to direct. And I think Emily Blunt was reading the part or kind of practicing the part of the female role with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of convinced him that you have to cast me in this lead.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a wonderful story of how all of this came together. And then when Scott Beck and Brian Woods had to give a full treatment to Paramount, they were saying in a really interesting article, I think it was in IndieWire, which they wrote themselves, and they were saying they didn't want to, because there was so little dialogue, they needed to present the screenplay in an interesting way to the executives. And
yeah,
you didn't want just passages and passages of descriptive text.
He signs.
Exactly, right? So essentially, they just had one word on a page describing what was going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, so I need to go dig up a copy of the screenplay when they finally release it, because I think it'll be something really fun to read as well as as a pitch document.
Because,
right?
I mean, the concept alone is great, but it's the execution is just, it's spot on. It's perfect.
I absolutely love this film. Yeah. I'm so happy it's playing in Malaysian cinemas. You have to go check it out.
Yeah, I mean, John Krasinski got buff. He was funny in The Office. He got buff for Benghazi, and now he's a directorial tour de force for this. I can't wait to see what he does next.
You know, before we go, I have to say, even the quiet, tender moments between the two of them are absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And they cut through the tension so well. There's a great moment where they dance together,
mm-hmm,
and it's not forced, it's absolutely touching. So she comes down into the basement and she takes the earphones out of her ear and she puts it in his, and they have a little dance together. And it's just an absolutely wonderfully tender moment,
which
is then undermined by great violence and evil creatures. But it works so well in this
film. It works really, really well.
Go check out A Quiet Place. It's now screening in cinemas. Let us know what you think when you watch it. I'm on @UmaPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.